Hi there, this is Johnny Cruz, and you are tuned in to Ugly Brown Boy. You can find this on all podcast platforms, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching. This next episode I've loosely entitled The Beginning and the End of Me. I want to unwrap something today that has caused a lot of distress on my own mental health, which is very prevalent in the gay community. That's racism and discrimination. But before I get into this, I first want to talk about one of my experiences being forced out of the closet in high school. This is sort of a prequel to my coming out story, and it's an important part, an important story to tell. I was excited to be a part of a caring and loving group of people in high school who have beautiful voices and beautiful hearts and spirits. They were the closest people to me, and to this day, they mean the world to me because without them, I wouldn't have survived high school. So they are also part of my coming out story. They introduced me to myself, and I thank them for that introduction. Because coming out of the closet, I was afraid, and they took my hand and embraced me and told me it would be okay. There was so much discovery and so much potential and so much to look forward to. I began to experiment. I began to develop crushes on boys for the first time, much to the dismay of my family. Legitimate crushes outside of not knowing what it was that I was feeling. I had no idea for a long time until I met this group of people, and that discovery was one of the most wonderful discoveries of my life. You see, I had these feelings since I was a little boy from seeing attractive men on television and movies, at Disneyland, to the beaches and malls, to underwear and t-shirt packaging. It was everywhere, and I didn't know what was going on. And meeting my friends, meeting my best friends in high school, led me to the discovery of what I was. This was my awakening, and I had my best friends to thank for this beautiful world they introduced me to. It first started with calling ourselves pink or blue. And if you guys are watching, do you remember this? I think it was my friend Maura who started this, or maybe it was Hallie. And you were either pink or blue. Pink stood for queer, LGBTQ, and blue was straight. And it was such a simple introduction using those two colors, and easy for me to digest and process. And it was just wild how something simple opened up the universe for me. So when I came out and we discovered pink and blue, there was a lot of talk of who in our group was pink and who was blue. And the two crushes that I remember in high school that were reciprocated, I won't mention any names, but one was a senior when I was a freshman. And I think he was the first. And that was really exciting and beautiful and wonderful. And then there was somebody in my grade who was, I don't know, what do you get when you mix pink and blue? So he was like in between, whatever. Because he was confused. It wasn't that he was purposely in between, I think. I think he was just very, very confused at the time. And it's fun. Like, we were freshmen in high school. Who really knows anything about themselves? But I guess when I discovered that he was also pink, it was kind of exciting because I developed this little crush on him, which led to talking, which led to spending time with one another. And one thing led to another. And nothing was consummated, I guess, for lack of a better term. But because of his confusion, the next day after things happened, I walked into school to a shitstorm. And you see, for me, ever since I was a kid, I was never a gossip. And I had no intention of spreading any kind of news around. But news spread very, very quickly about me and how I took advantage of him. And how I did something to him. But his role in it was very passive, I guess. And at least that's what he claimed. So because of this, that day changed my entire life throughout the course of high school. And honestly, it's something that kind of haunts me to this day. Not in a bad way anymore, but at the time it was really life-changing. And not for the best. Because that's when the taunts started, and there was no way for me to get away from the rumor that I was this little gay boy that walked around taking advantage of other boys. And although I had my friends to lean on, it was something that made my entire high school experience from freshman year to graduation hell, absolute hell. It was the time that the jocks and everybody else, practically the guys anyway, would walk behind me and threaten to spit on me. And I got made fun of what feels like every day. And although all the specifics are very blurry, the feeling remains about high school and how awful it was for me. It was torturous year after year after year. It was torture because I had to live with this reputation just from one incident with this guy. I would go home every day, and not only did I have to deal with an abusive father, not only did I have to deal with the insecurities that were created at home about what a piece of shit I was and what a loser and a bum I was and how useless I was, I also had to contend with going back to school every day and facing the taunts and the ridicule about being this little faggot boy, while the other guy got to roam around, finish high school, free of any kind of torture that I had to live out every single day. I have no resentment towards this guy anymore. And I actually had dinner with him a year ago because he moved back to Orlando. He lived here for a long time and worked for Disney. But I think what I saw and the confused human being that sat with me, I realized how incredibly tortured he was and still is as well. And I guess I can say I'm thankful for the strength I had. But God damn it. It's just like wondering what it would be like to be raised by parents that supported everything that I did. I just wonder what 4 years of high school without all the torture would have been like. But that is not unusual for gay boys in high school. It is not unusual, my story. But then we fast forward, right, to when I was a gay kid growing up in New York City, and I tried to date, and this was another thing that I had to deal with, being brown and being Asian and looking different from so many of the gay black and white boys when I was young and out. And the racism and discrimination that I had to deal with in gay culture. And this was in New York City. And shortly after internet dating, and not in-person dating, but, you know, I had my own issues with in-person dating. But it became very, very apparent to me that my issues with internet dating stemmed from the issues that I was having with personal dating, like in bars and stuff like that. And I would see in people's bios or profiles, the first few words in the heading of the profile was just an alert to these groups of people. And it just said, no fats, no femmes, no Asians. So the gay culture in this country discriminated against fat people, discriminated against femme or effeminate boys, and discriminated against Asians. And it was due to what I think was a stereotype that was created by some asshole non-Asian criticizing the penis size of Asian guys. I mean, that's what I think. There are other reasons too that the stereotype was that we were submissive and we were not outspoken, and we were quiet and also slightly feminine. So there wasn't really a place for us in gay culture for a really long time. This is my opinion. This is what I feel. And that led us, or me, to becoming fetishized. So guys who liked us because we were a fetish. Like, they just loved Asian boys. No matter what you looked like, every single Asian boy, big, small, fat, skinny, you name it, they loved you. And I didn't like that at all. Not to be a fetish, anyway. So the gay community, I guess, until this day, I don't know firsthand because I'm married and I'm not dating anymore. But from the things that I still see and read, it's still the same thing. And you are judged by a stereotype that was created to make Asian guys less than. And here we are. It's like gay guys are the representation of how Christians or Christian nationalists see the LGBTQ community. They are only concerned about genitalia or who you sleep with, or what you do in bed. They are hyper-focused on your penis size the same way Christian nationalists are only focused on the way two women or two men are having sex. And neither one of those things is anyone's business. So, it's like your skin color, right? You were born with this thing between your legs. And it is the size that it is. And it's compared to black guys and Latin guys and white guys. And it's just brutally compared to everybody. And it's just like your skin color, right? You can't help and you can't control what skin color you're born with. And what God gives you as far as size has nothing to do with your choice. And yet, here are these people that judge you based on all of these things, from the size of your tits to the size of your penis to the skin that you were born with. And it's all the same. Being born with a certain type of genitalia is the same as being born with whatever skin color you have. You get to reap the benefits of being well endowed and being white. And all of those things, you know, that they call privilege, is basically what nature has bestowed upon you. And it has nothing to do with you and what you did for it. So my question is, as a kid, how do you find value in yourself based on these things? And how can value be taken away from you because you are not these things? So my point is this. It's sheer luck. It's sheer luck that you're born white. It's sheer luck that you are well endowed. Being and thinking that you are more or less than anyone else is completely randomized. It's a completely randomized situation that has nothing to do with what you have or haven't done. And then you get older, and people look at you and think that they are better than you when you are gifted those things. These days, the color of my skin is one of the most important things to me. The darkness, my brownness, and sometimes even blackness, depending on my exposure to the sun, is of immense value to me. And what I possess that is nobody else's business has landed me an incredibly beautiful, beautiful husband. So I win. But it's not a competition. I just win for myself. And that's what has always concerned me, right? It's just me. It's like meeting friends with money. I have no concern about that. Especially because I'm perfectly content with the beautiful home that I've created. I've said this before. And I'm content with where I am in my life and the incredible things that I'm creating now. And other people's wealth has nothing to do with my own success. But I guess I told you this story because it is the part of growing up as a kid and even as an adult and seeing the cruelty of people and how poorly they treat you based on the images that they sickly conjure in their heads about you that have nothing to do with them. See, for me, there's this thing called kindness, right? That really excludes me from the right, from the justification to judge anybody. And back to what I said earlier, it is your empathy that puts you in a space to see people for who they are and to meet them where they are and to find value in who they are. I think that's what we need to popularize these days, is meeting people and wanting to know what kind of person they are versus what their skin color is or what they do for a living or how much they make in a year or how they got into this country and why they're living in this country and whether or not they went through the same channels you did and see people for how beautiful they are. I think one of the most notable things that somebody said to me one time about putting a gay flag outside of their house is not so that everybody can know that you're gay and you're putting it in everybody's face. It's so that the couple down the street knows that you are safe. It's so that the kid growing up queer knows that you are safe, that there is somebody who lives next door or down the street that is safe. And for me, that's so fucking important that people know that we are safe. We love you, and you're safe with us. I guess it's what I wanted for myself when I was growing up. And my ability to provide that for other people around me, whether I know them or whether they're strangers, I want them to know they're safe, and I want to be able to give people what I feel I didn't have enough of. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And I will see you next Tuesday.